In the passage that Emery read earlier from Matthew 26, when Jesus gave the apostles the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for remission of sins. This is my blood of the covenant." Now, some versions say, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And the reason for that is in some of the more newer manuscripts, the word new is in there. But in the older manuscripts, the word new is not there. And so it appears that what he likely said was, "This is my blood of the covenant." And it appears that the word new was later added by scribes. But either way, Jesus was talking about his new covenant. But this statement, "This is my blood of the covenant," is a direct quotation from the book of Exodus and is very significant. We're going to look in this talk this morning at the relationship of the Lord's Supper with our covenant with God. And we're going to learn how our partaking of the Lord's Supper aids each one of us in keeping our covenant that we have made with God. The word covenant basically means an agreement. And the basic agreement by God in the Bible with His people, Old Testament and New Testament, has always been this: "I will be your God and you will be my people." That's the covenant that God made with the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. What God wanted above all else was them. And what God wanted above all else for them was Him. "I will be your God and you will be my people." The Hebrew word for covenant is berith. And that word most likely derives from the word meaning to eat. Now just think about that for a minute. So the word for covenant in the Hebrew language is almost certainly from a word that means to eat. Now why would covenant mean to eat? Well, it was by eating that a covenant was made official, that it was ratified. You see, ancient covenants were made using a three-step process. First, an agreement would be made between two or more parties. Secondly, a sacrifice would take place. And thirdly, there would be the eating of a meal to ratify the covenant. God used this process with the Israelites. I want us to turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Now, this is after God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they came down to Mount Sinai. And there they were. They had just arrived at Mount Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel.' So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him." Now this covenant that they were preparing to make with God and that God was preparing to make with them was not a covenant between equals. God chose the terms. There were no negotiations. But in verse 8, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Israel agreed to that covenant. God then gave them in chapter 20 the Ten Commandments, which is sort of a cross-section of the law. And then he gave Moses the details, many of the details of the law to give to the people. And in Exodus 24 and verse 3, Exodus 24 and verse 3, then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we're going to see as we continue in a moment that a third time they're going to make this same agreement. And it may remind you of our recent study at the end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, when the covenant was renewed at Shechem with that generation of Israelites that entered the land, that three times that they agreed to the covenant. And that generation kept the covenant. But this generation, they were going to talk about, they did not do that. So there's the agreement. Secondly, there's the sacrifice. As we continue reading in Exodus 24, we see sacrifices offered. Read with me starting in verse 4. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered, now pay attention, burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood. Now just envision this. Imagine this. He took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. So he would have used a branch of hyssop, and he dips it in there, and he's just sprinkling it on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, and here's that third time they agree, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. Verse 8, so Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Now picture that. What if you were one of the ones standing close enough that you're getting doused with some of this? And said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Now the two kinds of sacrifices offered in this passage we just read were burnt offerings and peace offerings. Burnt offerings were completely burnt. Nothing was eaten. But peace offerings were eaten by the priest, by the worshipers themselves. So that was the nature of peace offerings. They could be eaten. Right? And so there we see that the sacrifice is made. Now we're going to talk about the third step to the covenant process, which is the eating of the meal. And we continue reading in verse 9. Now this is just so amazing to me. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. A sapphire is like a clear blue stone. So imagine this, what it must have looked something like. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank in the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? You see, they were eating of the peace offerings. And the eating of the peace offering in the very presence of God, the other one who was part of this covenant, they were the one side, God was the other, was done as a means to seal, to close securely, to certify as correct this covenant that was just made. Now let's talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a ratification of Christ's covenant. It serves to seal, to close securely, to certify as correct this new covenant in Christ. Christ is our sin offering, but he is also our peace offering. And when we take of the Lord's Supper, we are eating the peace offering. Think about that. We're eating his body and his blood, not literally, but symbolically. We're eating of the sacrifice that was made for us. The Old Testament peace offering was not made until sacrifices for sins were offered. Why? because only then did the worshipers have peace with God. The eating of the Lord's Supper affirms that we're at peace with God and that we have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus the Christ. And as Moses and the leaders ate and drank in the presence of Jehovah, so we do on the first day of every week when we partake of this meal. We are eating and drinking in the presence of Jehovah, and we are eating and drinking with Jesus Himself. He told His apostles in Matthew 26, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, in the expression, blood of the covenant, that Jesus used in Matthew 26, 28, it is identical, as I noted, to the one used by Moses on Mount Sinai. And I want to read that verse again in Exodus 24 and verse 8. "So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" That's what Jesus was quoting when he was starting the Lord's Supper. Blood represents death. The fruit of the vine represents Jesus' blood and thereby his death. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant by blood. Hebrews chapter 9. So what does all this mean for us as we take the Lord's Supper this morning? It means that we need to remember our covenant with God as we partake. The Israelites wanted God's blessings, but they were quick to forget the covenant that they had made with God. After they agreed three times at Mount Sinai, in fewer than 40 days, they had made a golden calf. And they offered sacrifices and they ate before that calf. In other words, they were making a covenant with that God. And in Exodus 32 and verse 7, I want us to look there, so significant. Exodus 32 and verse 7. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.'" The covenant says, "I will be your God and you will be my people." Well, now that the covenant was broken, God is not claiming them as His. He tells Moses, "These are your people now." It's a sad story. And as we continue through Israelite history, time and time again, they're breaking the covenant that they had made with God. When Moses went down the mountain and saw what they were doing with the golden calf and their worship there, he shattered these tablets. They were useless because the people had broken the covenant. And so we must remember to keep our side of the covenant we have made with God. When we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, we need to examine ourselves to be sure that we are keeping the promise that we made when we agreed to Christ's covenant at baptism. Because in essence, when we did that, we were saying, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." That's the promise we made at baptism. It wasn't a promise that we will be perfect, but it's a promise that we will be committed to this covenant that we have made. If you have broken your covenant with God and with Christ, and you have not repented, and you have not recommitted to that covenant, it is vain. It is pointless for you to take the Lord's Supper, because you are not at peace with God. And the Lord's Supper is an affirmation that we're at peace with God. In fact, if you are in a state of rebellion against God, and you have broken that covenant, you are eating and drinking judgment to yourself. That's how important this whole matter is. You see, the Lord's Supper is not just an act of worship. It's not just one of the five things we do when we gather together, and we need to make sure and get there at the 9 o'clock hour, because we're going to eat of the unleavened bread and we're going to drink of the fruit of the vine, and we can put the check in the box. It's so much more than that. It is in part a reminder to us that we have a covenant to sustain. And it is an affirmation, as I said, that we are at peace with God as we eat of the peace offering that was made for us, Jesus Christ Himself. Let us remember these things this morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper.